You're listening to The Profile.
Hello, and welcome to The Profile podcast. I'm Andy Peck. Maybe you have a leadership role, or maybe you're just seeking to use your influence in godly ways. You will know that leadership can be a bit of a roller coaster, wonderful highs, crushing lows, and an awful lot of daily grind. Sometimes you need advice and encouragement from people who can relate to your situation. This is why for the past 18 years I've been interviewing Christians in the world of leadership, from churches, charities, and commercial and non-commercial settings. I've been aiming to support Christians just like you, so you can honour God, who is our ultimate leader. I trust that this next conversation will be an inspiration to you. This show is brought to you by Premier Christianity Magazine, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Get full online access and the print magazine every month by becoming a subscriber. See special offers available now at premierchristianity.com. It's my joy to welcome back to the Leadership Show, Simon Holly. He was last on the show 4th of August 2013 when we spoke about his book, Sustainable Power, Creating a Healthy Culture of the Supernatural in the Church Today. The book was an honest account of his and the church's journey into a ministry where the supernatural was a part of their expectation. Well, here we are 10 years later. He's still senior leader of King's Arms Church, Bedford, but also now leads in a number of other things. And as well as reflecting on the book 10 plus years on, I'm looking forward to hearing how his ministry has developed over the years. So lovely to welcome you back, Simon.
Great to be with you, Andy. Thanks so much for having us back.
So, Simon, you lead King's Arms Church, but what else have you been up to in the last decade?
Well, it's been a long time, hasn't it? It's a long time since I've seen you. But yeah, I also now lead Catalyst Network, which is New Frontiers is the family of churches that we're part of. Catalyst is one of those groups within that, as New Frontiers has multiplied. So we have around 800 churches across Europe, Africa, Asia, the Middle East. So I help to lead that with numbers of teams. And I've also got a small coaching business where I coach authors and speakers and entrepreneurs, basically how to get their message out. So it's kind of helping them unpack issues in their lives. And so, yeah, a few different things, but it's great to see you again after so long.
Well, thank you. We'll explore some of that a bit later on. I'm interested in this book, of course, Sustainable Power. You know, we're 10 years on. I don't know if you remember exactly what you wrote or if you go back into it, but I mean, you know, do you still stand by what you wrote looking back?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, obviously a lot's happened. We've been through a global pandemic, but I think that the core message for me is the same. God's a supernatural God. We're called to be a supernatural people. That's who we are in our nature. And so often though, that goes wrong in the church and we end up hurting each other. So my kind of contention as a book is we want to see the power of God, but in a healthy way, in a sustainable way where we don't blow the church up in the process. And so that was my contention. And yeah, I would say I still stand by it. I still think that's the aim. That's what we're looking for. We're a supernatural people. We should be expecting when we meet together that God shows up, and that when we're out and about that God shows up with us. That, you know, as Jesus said, he sent his disciples on mission, that I'm with you to the end of the age. So the anticipation was that there was a supernatural power with the disciples as they went out. So both for the church, but also when we're out and about, I really, really do believe in that. And yeah, still pressing into it.
Wonderful. I recall in the book, you had a period where there was nothing happening. And I seem to remember a number of people with significant ministries that people would have heard of, who also seemed to have months where they were praying and nothing happened. And I seem to remember you had that similar sort of sense.
Yeah, definitely. And certainly in the early days. And even since then, it does. There's times where it feels like there's an ebb and flow with these things. And I still, you know, I think when it comes to the power of God and the supernatural aspects of God, I think we're looking through a glass dimly. You know, we're reaching in, we're leaning in, but we don't understand it all. So it does definitely feel like there's ebbs and flows in this thing and these times. But then just when you feel like things have gone quiet, you get these extraordinary moments. We had one recently on a Sunday, a guy was getting baptized, and I hadn't actually heard, I often hear kind of through the grapevine testimonies, but I hadn't heard his testimony. And his story was that he had no Christian background at all. he was walking to his girlfriend's house, and he felt a physical hand on his shoulder, and a voice said, "No, not allowed." Literally an audible voice said, "No, not allowed. Read Psalm 110, verse 4." And so he,
Gracious.
yeah. So I mean, it's quite an extraordinary story. So when he went away and read that, and the Psalm 110, verse 4 is. It says, "You're a priest of the order of Melchizedek." It's a bizarre verse to quote. If I was God, I wouldn't quote Psalm 110, verse 4, and John 3:16, maybe. But anyway, that he was a super intelligent guy, intellectual guy, and that led him on a whole journey of discovering what that even that verse mean, and who is the priest of the order of Melchizedek, and all that. And this, anyway, led him to faith, and he was being baptized. So yeah, I just think in the midst of where things seem tough or quiet or God, are you there? He's still working, he's still moving in very powerful and supernatural ways, and we're still seeing that as a church, and lots of others around us are too.
Well, that's super to hear, Simon. Now, I'm going to ask a question. I'm not quite sure how to frame it, but you'll kind of get the gist. And that is that for many church leaders, that they'll have the program of the church. They'll know what they're preaching on, and it will kind of happen. And then they trust that God is in it all. If you're at a church labeled charismatic or supernatural, there's a sense in which you're looking for God much more, and you're kind of left to the mercy of God, aren't you, at each service? And I'm just wondering if that increases the sense of pressure on someone like yourself, whereas for someone perhaps who's got the order of service and they're just going through it, it feels a bit less pressurized. Maybe, I hope that's a fair question.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think we really believe the Holy Spirit's in the planning as much as he is in the spontaneous, that not one is more spirit-filled in one sense than another. But we definitely have an expectation that we make a plan, and that it's a little bit more potentially fluid, that God could break in, and we have to flex our plans accordingly. But also we do plan things and plan events, and it is a kind of push and pull and bit of a dynamic element of working out, okay, what do we feel like the Lord's doing on any given meeting or on a Sunday? We just believe that the church should be more than great coffee, great worship, great preaching, all of those things. We want all of those things. We don't want bad coffee, bad preaching, bad worship, but we just think it's more than those. And when God shows up and maybe brings a word and brings some or just a sense of his presence that leads in a particular direction, then we just kind of learn to go with that. So in one sense, it's a pressure, and in another sense, it's incredibly liberating because you know that you're not the only one. It's not just down to your plans and did you get it right or wrong. But it is, I think particularly for those who host our meetings. We had a meeting with some of our guys recently, and it's definitely more challenging because you're stewarding. People may come with a prophetic word or other contribution that you have to kind of steward and work out how does that fit into what we plan. So there is a stretch there. Whereas if it's all buttoned down and you know it's not going to change, that definitely is a different. That's a different thing to be dealing with, for sure.
So, Simon, how has the church grown and developed in the last decade?
Yeah, we've seen. I mean, like everybody, we got massively disorientated through COVID, and when we came back from that, the church was probably about 75% of what it was before, but it was a different 75%. So I think talking around the tracks, particularly larger churches like ours, very often had the same experience. We actually planted out a new location on the Sunday before the first lockdown,
Oh,
so that
well.
was our experience for those guys. But they weathered it really well. We did various things online, and so that was great. But yeah, so we're in multiple locations now, multiple meetings across those locations. So it's really, and what's been wonderful to see is increased diversity. Yeah, just right across all of our meetings, this is a massively increased diversity, which is wonderful. And I think particularly we felt, I did a bit of study during lockdowns when I had a, once we worked out what we were doing, I had a little bit more time and could connect with people. So I spent my time Zooming different leaders around the world, looking at disciple making, looking at, okay, where's the church going in the future? Where do we need to go? And just had some wonderful conversations. And it's one of the kind of the words that came through in that season is don't make disciples, make disciples who make disciples. And that first you think, well, isn't that the same thing? But actually, when you think about it, as I've reflected on it, really isn't. There's a massive difference between making disciples and making disciples who make disciples. And so that's been a real journey for us as we're working out what does that look like? How do we see some of the multiplication that the early church saw? in our disciple making? How do we get the church naturally reaching out to their friends and families? How do we have even an expectation of when someone gives their lives to Christ, that they probably won't come to Christ alone, that maybe there'll be a friend or a family member? And that's certainly the New Testament. Looking back at that, I think it's of the 30 salvation experiences that are recorded in Acts, only three of them are individuals on their own, or 27, it's groups of people. And that's kind of been a real, my expectation was, oh, if someone comes through to faith, that's amazing. And it still is amazing, but I'm like, now my expectation is like, yeah, but who else is coming with them? Who else are they going to bring? And that just changes things. So I think, yeah, we've been on quite a journey on that. And now, looking as we go to potentially more locations in the future, we're kind of in the middle of a bit of a restructure looking at that. So yeah, lots of challenges, lots of opportunities. God's still moving, which is wonderful.
Oh, it's good to hear, Simon. So, you lead teams that lead large organizations or within the Catalyst network. What have you learned about building healthy, functioning teams?
Yeah, I think on some days I think I've learned a lot in the last 25 years, and some days I think I've learned nothing, and
Okay.
it depends on what day you catch me. I think what I've seen post-COVID is that we just have to lean in more, much more, to listening to one another. So I think we've got to slow down. I think particularly in the church where you're stretched, and I think this applies to teams in the workplace, in the secular workplace as well as in the church, but particularly in the church, the complexity of leading in the church is just at another level compared to leading in a business where at the end of the day you walk home and your friendship groups aren't intermixed with your church, typically aren't intermixed with your family groups or your church or your kind of Christian groups. So whereas if you're leading the church, you've got all three mixed together. So I think leaning in to slow down, to listen to one another, we're going through a period of listening, really listening to one another at the moment as teams. I think leading forward in the imperfect. I think there's such a paralysis in the world right now because of the increased complexity. Everything seems so complex that so many have just stopped moving forward. And I think learning to lead forward when things are imperfect, sometimes the worst thing to do is to do nothing, actually. It's hard to steer a stationary vehicle, almost impossible. So even if you're moving forward slowly, that's often better than just not doing anything at all. Even if it's imperfect, and I see lots of teams that are just kind of paralyzed because they can't make a decision because everything is just so difficult around them. I think vision is really key in this season. So making sure in all the teams I've led, we've kind of gone back to, okay, what is our vision? What are we doing? What are we doing here? I think it's critical now more than ever because it's not a season where you can just do kind of business as usual. You've got to drill back to your vision and say, okay, what are we doing here? Are we doing the right thing even? And how are we going to get to where we want to go? And I think care as well, just caring for one another. It's just an absolute battleground, and I see leaders as we all are at every level, seeing leaders being taken out, particularly Christian leaders. So just slowing down, caring for one another, I think is absolutely key. So yeah, those would be a few things. But as I said, sometimes I think I learned absolutely nothing at all. So.
Well, you're very, very gracious. I'm sure you have. Simon, when I was training for pastoral ministry and spent some time in pastoral ministry myself, I remember people saying to me, that actually anyone last 10 years in a church, is a A, it's a bit unusual, and B, they normally will have had to change and adjusted either their own ministry within that time or something. I'm just
Yeah.
wondering how it's been for you. You've mentioned already some of the other things you lead, whether that helps to refresh what you're doing at King's Arms as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so leading it does give a variety as well, being in different worlds. But I think it for me, for someone like me, I find the energy in it and being with different groups of people. And it also creates space around you because people know that you can't do everything. It creates attention as well. So there's some things that probably aren't working as well as they should do because I'm leading different spaces. That definitely keeps you personally moving forward and stretches you. So yeah, leading Catalyst, but also the newest thing that I'm doing is a kind of leadership coaching where I'm helping, just literally working with one individual, helping them get their message out. And that's just so varied. Depends. I've got an artist that I'm working on. I've got people who are authors, and just yeah, I just love that because you're working with one individual. It's fast. The other worlds that I'm in are quite slow to change because there's just so many people involved, whereas this is small, it's fast, it's just me and an individual. So I think the variety really helps every leader to stay fresh. And things you learn in each world kind of impact each other as well. And so things that you're learning in one world then help your leadership in another. So I don't know. I mean, I've done 20 years now leading King's Arms, so I don't know about the 10-year thing, but certainly keeping a variety, I think, is absolutely critical. And developing for your sake and for everyone else's sake around you. Create space for others to rise up and fill the gaps that you used to do in your sleep, basically, but now you're not doing them. Someone's got to grow into that space themselves. So I think that's really important for a leader.
Well, forgive the pun, but I'm asking the question, what is the catalyst for your mentoring, coaching kind of work? What was the moment that thought, hey, I'd like to do some of that?
Numbers of things, actually. I think I really enjoy coaching individuals. I think it started with a whole kind of a book thing of recognizing that I just started having conversations with authors who were just stuck, and just like some people have been sat on a book for 5, 10 years. I was like, I think I can help you here. I've written a book. I've written a few books, actually, some under a pen name, one under my own name. And so I just thought I could help people here get their books out. So I just started with that. But it's kind of developed into other things. So I realized how many leaders are particularly stuck with imposter syndrome, feeling like, who am I to say what I feel called to say, but who am I? So just helping people get through that. So that was a catalyst. And I think also I've always loved Apostle Paul's model of tent making and having an income. I'd love to be able to work for the church for free. I'm not there yet, but I'd love to be able to do that, to be able to volunteer my time. Maybe I can do that one day. So I think all of those things, something outside of the church, I think is great. I always used to, in fact, I in the early days of church, I had another job. I worked one day a week for I was an IT consultant, and I did that for many years while I was leading King's Arms. And I just really liked that because it communicates to the church, look, I'm doing what you're doing. I'm doing family, I'm doing business, I'm doing the church. We're all doing those three things. And I get your world, and I kind of miss that since I've been doing just Catalyst and King's Arms. I've missed that, and so doing all three together, I think, has been really fun, really energizing for me as well.
Simon, Catalyst has 800 churches kind of worldwide. And so you're traveling a lot. I suppose I'm going to ask a question which is more UK focused, and that is, what are the common challenges that you're finding the Catalyst network of churches facing?
I think there's a whole mix. I think lots of stretching going on. I think the pressures and the complexity of the leaders leading the church, as I said before, is huge. So I think that's stretching. I think there's just definitely still an element of exhaustion because of that. But I think also mixed in with that, there's real excitement as to, I think people are really kind of coming through. Working out, okay, who have we got on the bus now, and what direction are we going through? And so, so many stories of salvations and God moving in, and even had churches recently have been, bought a building for £1 because, I mean, just a phenomenal stories of God's provision. So, in the midst of the stretching and the challenge, which is definitely there, because the world just does feel more complex and more exhausting than it did. I don't quite know why, but I think just everyone's feeling that. And you can name individual factors and put them all together, I guess, and that this kind of paints the picture of the leadership that we're in today. But yeah, I think at the same time, people, just hopeful that we've got something to bring. And I think more than ever, the world is recognizing that it's out of options, and the church has got an option in Jesus that is just so unique and so unparalleled. That the more in all the mess and all the complexity of it, the church still is carrying the light of the world, still carrying the hope of the world, and so we've just got to keep getting that message out there. So I think that's what I'm seeing: faithful people, sense of weariness definitely, but also a sense of hope and a sense of great resilience. And I think certainly not just in the UK but around the world we're seeing that, and some of our leaders in other nations are just under intense pressure, and yet. I was talking to one recently who's under huge, I mean, we think we've got issues in the UK. I mean, he has screaming mobs outside the church regularly. The police are saying, this is all we can do to protect you. So that's his background, but he's like, full of smiles and saying, but God is good and we're planting more churches. So that always helps me. Being part of a movement that stretches across the nations helps me helps me to get our problems and our issues into perspective as well, recognizing, he's still the same God wherever we are, and we're all moving forward with many challenges, but the gospel's still going out, and people are still giving their lives to Christ, and the church is still, Jesus is still building his church, which is what he promised to do. So that encourages me as well.
Obviously, people are aware and of denominations. They will kind of know what if they're Baptist or Methodist or Anglican. They kind of know what to expect. When you talk about Catalyst, a cluster of churches that come out from the kind of New Frontiers movement, would there be a common characteristic? Would there be a sense of the churches within Catalyst are doing similar sort of stuff, or how does it kind of work within an apostolic movement like yours?
Yeah, so we definitely are still a part of New Frontiers. So New Frontiers is still together. It's a kind of fellowship of apostolic teams now, and Catalyst is one of those teams. And yeah, I think we're constantly, and we have a very decentralized model. So we have lots of churches in lots of different cultures, lots of different contexts. But we're all, about the same thing. We all want to make disciples. We want to plant churches. We want to strengthen those churches. We want to see God's kingdom extended. So that's our kind of common denominator and the relationships together. And I think just learning from one another is such a key and such a strength of our particular family. And so we're learning from, for example, we just had I really felt the Lord speaking to me last year about training up 1,000 church planters. And so we're kind of on this. We've agreed that as a team, we've agreed that as a movement, that's what we've got as a family of churches, that's what we're going for. And so, but we're now forming subgroups within that and pulling people in from Uganda and Nigeria and saying, okay, what have you learned about church planting? How does that impact us? And, we even had a long conversation about coaching. What does it mean if you said you're a coach of a church planter in Uganda compared to what does it mean in the UK? And it's actually there's some similarities, but there's some striking differences as well.
Sure.
So even the words, how you define the words, you can learn from one another. So yeah, so lots of commonalities and also extreme differences. Where for us to plant a church, you've got to find a location, you've got to find a school that you can maybe meet in. For them, they just don't have the same stretch. Buildings are pretty cheap and re relatively available. What they wrestle with is the theological depth of the leaders, training their leaders. I think it's in Africa, 70% of the leaders have had no theological training whatsoever. So, that's their real challenge is, internet's so patchy, you can't deliver on online training in the same way we do. You've got to pull people in. So yeah, we all have the same ideas, but or the same thing we're going for, but just different challenges in different contexts.
I do want to make a suggestion, and that is that you pray for those listening. I've never done this before, but I just sense that it might be good for you just to pray, particularly for those who are struggling, that they might know something of God. So would you mind doing that for us?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Father, just thank you for everyone listening. I just thank you for your spirit at work in their lives. And I just pray that whether they're leading or working in some area of your church and your kingdom, that your blessing would be on them, that they'll be encouraged, whether they feel stretched, whether they feel challenged. They would keep putting one foot in front of the other. Pray that where there's complexity, that they would receive your peace and your help. Thank you, Lord, for the times that you've stepped in and brought peace and a clear path forward for me when it just seemed insoluble, the problems that we're facing. And I just pray for that for everyone who's listening, that even today, the peace of Christ would guard their heart and their mind, and that they would know that peace and know your direction and your wisdom as they move forward. I pray, Lord, for a real sense of unity where there is such a spirit of disunity around. I pray for a real sense of unity in the teams and the individuals that are listening to this. And yeah, just come, Holy Spirit, just pray your blessing on them wherever they are in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Simon. So it's been terrific to catch up with you 10 years later, and
Oh, thanks,
to know you're
Andy.
still on the same railway track that God placed you on so many years
Yeah.
before. And so thank you so much for what you shared.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having us.
That was my conversation with Simon Holley, the author of Sustainable Power: Creating a Healthy Culture of the Supernatural in the Church Today. As I said, it's 10 years or so since he wrote it, but it's still available on Amazon. So if you wanted to get a copy, then do so. Holley is spelled Holley. And his website, should you be a leader needing support or encouragement, maybe you're stuck or whatever, Well, that's therawleader.com, therawleader.com. And if the prayer at the end was really for you and God touched you through Simon's prayer, then it'd be great to hear from you. Do get in touch with me, andy.peck@premier.org.uk, and share what God is doing, and we can rejoice with you. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company again, and trusting that you'll know God's grace and indeed God's power wherever he has placed you as you lead in the week ahead. God bless.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.